Welcome back, friends. It's another episode of the Mindful CEO. I'm your co-host, Chris Angel, here with our host, Aaron Hendon,
What's up?
the man with the purple crayon. Yeah, that kind of
Yeah.
rhymes, Aaron. The man with the purple crayon.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Set
Thank
us up
you.
today, Aaron.
All right, good. I will set you up because Anna is one of my favorite people, and that is really no shit the case. I've known Anna. Okay, so if now we're coming on 20 years or close, right? I mean, if what we said pre-show is accurate of when you first started participating around the center. It's probably 15 minimum. And and so Anna's been in and out of my life in various different categories. Most recently, she is an energy worker and a business coach, and we're trying to figure out what the container is for Anna, like where to put that. But we wanted her on the show because she's got so many different overlapping conversations for what we're building and the kind of mindful CEO that we're out to empower. And this is a whole nother take at it, and from the somatic body work and the Qigong perspective. And with that, Anna, really welcome, welcome, welcome to the show.
Yay, thank you so much for having me.
Yay, it's great to have you. Most recently you were working with my wife. And
Yes, I love Kale. Such a
yes.
sweetheart. Such a deep, rich soul.
She is all of that and totally hot, which is great. So that's actually a good entree into it is because you've been doing Qigong work, and we had I think we were gonna teach a class and no one came or something. Like, we had started a conversation for that a while back. And I know you've been running from burnout to brilliance, but what was the coaching program that Kale participated in with you most recently?
Oh yeah, so it's called Alive, and it's a membership that we have. We actually do it now for corporate wellness as well, but basically it's an acronym, and so it's allowing yin to yang, and then these are five energy principles to really help you shift from burnout to brilliance and embody your soul's joy. And it's designed around three objectives of being able to let your soul lead, not your ego, which then requires having a stronger mind-body connection so that you can clear all the noise. And then before I go to the three objectives, though, I was going to the acronym. So allowing yin to yang, and then listening within, inspiring soul first. This is about your morning rituals and making sure that that's infused, and then just doing busy actions for performance. And then V is for valuing fears. So really a new relationship to love and embrace like little children under your arms. And then E is energizing daily flow. And that's about moving your body and really circulating the energy so you can accumulate and then harness that as well. So yeah, those are the themes that we go over each month that she was in. And people can get certified in this and teach it as well, but it's a somatic mindfulness program.
Cool. And you wrote it. It's your program.
Yeah.
Great. And so when and it was what, 3 months? How long? What was the
It's
structure of it?
6 months, yeah.
6 months.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then it was a year initially. We made it 6 months, and then now it's like, you can do the 6 months as part of the year-long certification. Anyway, it's in 6 month modules, so.
Very cool. Yeah, so that's the kind of coaching that you moved into now, but you were at when you started this, you were more of a traditional business coach, yes?
Yeah, I called myself a business energy coach, right? Because I was able to bridge the world of spirit with business.
Great. Well, this is, that's very consistent with the unstated mission statement of the Mindful CEO is bridging that world. And before we get it, we're going to get a little more esoteric. I know I have all these conceptual questions to ask, but just talk a little bit about that journey from, was it spreadsheet management, like that world, the numbers, to the world of energy? And how did you find yourself bridging it? And how was that both? How did it happen? And then what was that journey like for you? Like, there's got to be some kind of revelatory, haha, revelatory,
Revelation.
yeah, experience. So just talk to me about that journey.
Absolutely. So When I was a business coach, I always wove spirituality anyway. It was there, but not branded as that, not forward. It was kind of in secret, bringing it out. So it wasn't like a huge leap in that way of what the actual clients needed. But mostly, you know, people want to make more money. And the biggest, there's one of my mentors, Roger James Hamilton, has this book called The Millionaire Mindset. I forget even the exact name. But anyway, I've been looking up to him for like 6 years and following him online, and slowly had, gone through the stages of infrared. So if you imagine consciousness, you know, like a rainbow of colors, and it reflects your money. So like if infrared is like negative cash flow, right? And then red and moving up orange is now some cash flow, but you're relying on one job or one client. And then yellow is like where you break through into enterprise prism, and it's like you're profitable, right? But it's all relying on you. And then green is like, okay, you now have a team that's helping out, right? But now you don't have as much freedom. And then the next level blue is like, okay, now you have multiple teams that can automate and run, and you have another team. And then you go to purple, now you're like orchestrating, you know, this is like the billionaire level and above. You kind of add a zero on income with each level. And so most people get stuck from the yellow to the green level, right? Being the solopreneur, doing everything, wearing all the hats, and then being able to go into the green. So that's where I was focused, is helping kind of already 6-7 figure companies being able to go expand into their teams. And so I was doing a lot of tactical stuff around how do you build teams and hire the right people. And they he has this whole modality based off the I Ching, which is like the wealth dynamics. And it has like each direction represents not just an element in a direction, but also how you personally deal with wealth. So for example, the north direction is dynamo energy. And these are people who solve problems by asking, what is the strategy that I'm gonna do? And they have tons of ideas, head in the clouds, but they do not finish stuff. Don't give them details necessarily. And then you move to the east side, and this is the sunshine, and this is blaze energy. And they're all about who do I know? Who do I know? And these are like your ultimate connectors, and they're extroverted and so forth. And they solve every problem with like, who do I know to do that? And then you go down to like the tempo. These are like your really grounded, earthy energy people, and the fall season. And they're good about timing and when, and they're here and now. And these are like your, I think of like construction workers and teachers and people that are like really sensory. And then you go over to the west, and it's the steel energy. And this is the winter, and it's cold. And these are your systems, accounting, financial people, details. They build wealth through systems. And so they're always asking that's how they solve problems. So each one, we have an essence in each one. And then we have a primary, and then maybe a secondary, right? So depending on what profile you are, this is what I taught as a business coach, will determine which team members you need and what's the most natural path to wealth that's based and aligned with nature and with these kind of more spiritual systems. And so that's what I was teaching and focused on. It was more tactical, you could say. I mean, it was almost all around teams because that's where everybody was at, like building the team. And I made lots of good money doing that. So when the pandemic hit, was the main pivot, because some colleagues were going belly up overnight, and I did not want to be a cash flow queen because that's what people were dealing with. But then there's so much emotional trauma happening. So I was like, I'm going to be that person and deal with emotional resilience and emotional intelligence and stress and trauma, you know, all that kind of stuff, which is all where the somatic mindfulness comes into play. So that's how I started pivoting and coming out of the closet, as we were talking about earlier, around branding. Okay, I am a business coach, but really what I'm doing is healing people and then elevating their consciousness so that they can ultimately be enlightened and complete their soul's mission, right? And so Alive, the acronym was actually different back then. It still existed, but it was around like building teams and the infrastructure. And I realized also, not just because of the pandemic, but I was already evolving into, you can work on these tactics all day long, but if your underlying intention, your emotional baggage is too strong, like none of that's going to really make a difference. We need to go to the root cause, right? What is the source of the issue? Something I learned, you know, also to get to the root issue, you know, with Landmark and everything. So that's why I was like, this is going to be more useful. It's going to have more impact to focus on the energy mastery side of things, on the mind, body, heart, and soul level. So let's work on the mind, body, heart, and soul, align that, then all the team stuff will naturally come to fruition more easily. So what's that was the evolution of just like the last few years, but yeah, of that transition. And did that answer your question?
Yeah, it did. I love it. I love it. It's so, Chris, it looked like you were going to say something. I could talk.
Well,
more.
It just made me think about, you know, like what is like, as you moved into this side of the work, what is the biggest obstacle you bump up against with CEOs and teams and C-suites moving from a steel structure, right, or a very Western way of building business to this more energetic space? Like, what are you bumping up against when you work with them?
Yeah, so to provide another framework I created is like different stages of energy mastery. So we've got like the total shit shows that are totally burned out, totally in hustle mode, can't even like recognize it, and they're just like stuck in it until they get cancer or someone dies, right? Okay, that's like, I don't
that
actually
laugh
know the
right there.
Anna,
hang on, that you laughed right there, it makes me so happy. Like,
they get cancer or they die.
They get cancer or die.
Right.
Come back again next time. Thanks for playing. On the karmic wheel. Okay, good.
Yeah, right.
That's what that is. That's good. I like it.
Gosh, that's funny.
Okay, sorry. So yeah, that's one.
Yeah. So that's like stage one. And then like ass is on fire is how I picture it. And then stage two is like they hit rock bottom. Much like I did, everybody has to hit their rock bottom, right? Everything pulls out from under them. They're like, "Whoa!" And they have their awakening, and their master appears. That's when my two energy masters I work with, both enlightened, showed up. Right? Was after we were on food stamps, and I was borrowing money from my parents, and it was all in secret. We didn't tell anybody because we were ashamed. And that place, right? And then their stage two is like they're dabbling though. They're beginners, right? They're kind of like they're just like, I don't know what this new thing is, and I'm exploring and dabbling. And then stage three is where they've chosen like a few pathways to follow, and they already have practices in place. And then that's where it's probably best to work with me, is in that more intermediate stage. And then the fourth stage is they're teaching this to other people as teachers, like Kale, right? Aaron's wife, and who's an wonderful energy healer. And but they want to deepen the practice. And so my specialty, again, is when I say somatic mindfulness, is like specifically in the healing martial arts of Qigong, Tai Chi. I'm a black belt in Taekwondo. And so bringing that ancient wisdom, blending it with brain education, but also with the actual moving meditation part, is where I can really bring a lot. And that's what the Alive certification is about, etc. So that's, you know, I work in the 3-4 stage normally. Back to your question, Chris, of like, what I see is it's like people are all on the spectrum, and I feel like, and maybe this is a misperception, but it occurs like the people that could have the biggest impact that are in stage one can't their awareness levels have to be, their consciousness has to be high enough to know that they need help, that they ask for help, and seek the help. So I feel like case in point, there's someone, dear friend, we both know her. Anyway, you know, very successful entrepreneur and has gone through health issues. And when I speak with her, she's completely burned out, right? She even took one of my classes and knows, but the struggle is just prioritizing their health and self-care enough. Mm-hmm. If there's not a problem of like a disease or something they're actively working on, then it's like it gets put by the wayside. And that's what I see as the biggest like issue or challenge, one of them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like either I have to like, I'm like, how can I help people, right? Because they have to want, you give them what they, whatever, what they need is self-care and new habits and so forth. What they want is just to get it fixed, the whatever they've injured or broken fixed, so they can just keep hustling, right? So then I work on the other extreme with the people who already know it, already have practices, etc., but maybe they're not making as big of the impact, right? Money-wise or impact-wise in the world. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they gravitate, those personality types.
It's good. Well,
So these
one
are
of the
all
things,
like
Kristen.
super spiritual coaches, but and they're super successful of those people too. I'm just always looking like what's the biggest impact, who's the highest level I can work with, because I've always pictured working with, like, I don't know why, former President Obama or something, like global leaders, right? And I have worked with like former NFL players and neuroscientists from Harvard and all this stuff, but I want, I'm just looking for like the, I'm a train the trainer, like I want to work with the highest leaders so that they can impact their community.
It's you know you it's great, Anna. There's a whole world in this. So there's the where you're headed, right? In that world, and that's there's an offer there that Chris and I are really engaged with the conversation, the question, and what makes a compelling offer. We haven't talked about it very much on this particular podcast. For anyone listening, you didn't miss anything. But we've been engaged in it within the background. How do you make something compelling? And there is that component to it of you've got to offer people what they want, not what they need. No one buys anything they need. They until they want it. They only buy things they want. You buy tons of shit that you don't need that you want, and you don't, and you have tons of stuff that you need, but you don't want it, so you don't buy it. Because until you want it, it doesn't sh people don't buy. Which is annoying
So
and
annoying.
totally annoying. Not when I do it, but when other people do it. When I do it, it makes total sense. When I'm there, I'm like, well, fine. But I'm totally justified, and everyone else is a pain in my ass. So that question about, constructing the offer, in a way that would leave people wanting it, right? Especially when you're getting into energy work inside a conversation, inside a paradigm of hustle culture, right? How got lining those things up. Speak a little bit about that, like how you speak about what you do, because you don't have it neatly boxed yet, right? We talked about that, right? Are you an energy coach? Are you a financial wellness, personal wellness coach? Where it's not. And here's the other piece. Okay, this is actually probably a more interesting question. That's where I'm going with it. But oh shit, I just lost it. Answer that question, and it'll come back to me.
Okay, I do feel like I have a package. So, like, you have your typical, what do you do?
Right.
The dreaded question,
Elevator speech.
right? So I say, I know who I work with very clearly. Like, I work with high achieving, mindful entrepreneurs, CEOs, global leaders, okay? Making a big impact with a big vision. And I help them shift, right, from burnout to brilliance so that they can embody their soul's joy and have more health and happiness and peace. So that's what I do. I don't know if that communicates, but I think that's enough in layman's terms.
No,
And
it does. It does. It
yeah.
does. It does.
And on a very, if I deduce, reduce that down to a phrase, it's like I give people more energy, right? To not rely on outside sources for energy, even energy healers. I hate saying that because it kind of undermines what we do, but like tap into the boundless energy within. That's like I keep redirecting back to, I want people to self-coach, self-heal, self-do everything. They're their best doctors. They're the best coach, period. And when you tap into intuition, right, there's no better advisor. So we're in a new era, right? The guru is done. Like everyone's a guru. Everyone needs to rise up and realize their own divinity. So that's what I'm shifting towards, right? The wisdom is in the collective, in the community, the satsang. And so I focused for years on building that community, and I'm shifting now more towards just, I mean, that's been the chapter the last 7 years, maybe 5, 7 years. And now I'm in the midst of, I'm a singer-songwriter, I'm a performance artist. And so how this all connects, if I were to say very simply, what do you do? I'd be like, I'm a Qigong instructor. Like that's simple. I do Qigong classes, Qigong classes, right? And people can all understand that. They get it right away. They get the martial arts feel of it. They understand there's something spiritual about it, and they know it's good for their health. And so it's a very easy sell, like, because everyone is just keep up their health as they age, and everybody gets longevity and everybody gets health. So, you know, when you hear health and wellness, like, you get a picture. That's why well-being is a little more holistic, of not just working physically, but the mind, body, heart, and soul. But being able to just simply say, I go two-time TEDx speaker, author, and Qigong instructor, right? So that I've been leaving the word coach out of it, because it gets all muddled. Like, is it a health and wellness coach, a well-being coach, leadership coach? The coaching will come naturally from Qigong classes if they want to go deeper, right, in their journey. Now I can become more of a spiritual advisor, mentor in that journey, to unblock all their shit in the way. But I don't lead with that. A lot of people do, but I'm so physically oriented, like, just by nature, that's how I learn anyway. I'm kinesthetic that way. So that's, like, where my happy place is. And like I said, I'm kind of pivoting from really building this community, which was really, I'm not going to lie, like, super, 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 super hard. Like, after really pouring so many resources into my network, and, you know, I had shifted off a Facebook group because Facebook's evil. No, just kidding. Anyway, we love Facebook. No, I don't. So I'm a conscious business as well. So I'm, like, really into people, plant first, and the quadruple bottom line. So anyway, in this next chapter, shifting from, it's not, the community still needs to be there, but I'm realizing where my strength is to attract through, like, speaking and Qigong performances and that sort of thing, to then just grow the Qigong classes. And then from there, they'll get all the spiritual teachings. They'll get, everything's kind of infused somatically anyway.
And so Qigong is the want. If people want Qigong, if they hear that as an opportunity, that's,
they want health and flexibility, but yeah.
Right. Okay, good. They want health and flexibility.
Longevity, quality of life as they age.
And people that hear Qigong and have no idea what it is are not your clients.
Sure. Yeah. Usually there's some sort of, like, oh, I really kind of want to try that. Yeah.
And then that's the path. Good. We're going to come back to the community part in a second. Chris's eyes lit up. That is really one of the, that's Chris's difference making contribution to the planet, is community builders.
Ah, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Chris, you should speak to that. Actually, it's going, I remembered my other point is why I'm hesitant.
Oh, good.
Okay, yeah. Good. So, but I'm going to hold it, because I do think you mentioned community and how difficult it is to build. And that is something that Chris and I have been, you know, that's an angel Chris and I have been wrestling with for a little bit. And yeah, Chris, you should speak to that. I think it'd be a good conversation for you to have with Anna, just given what it is, your overarching commitment and where you see yourself contributing in the world. And we don't talk about that very much on this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess what comes to mind as you say that is just the premise that I hold for community, that I think if we're all just walking each other home, that's how the world elevates. Like you said, the age of the guru is dead. Like, I feel like we live in a world full of pedestals where people are looking to everybody else for their answers. And it's not until once you can own the divinity that you are, and you see everybody else the same, then the task becomes to walk home in that energy, and it helps to have others reflect it back to you, right? Who have the same belief or perspective. Like, I am the divine, you are the divine, and if we both understand that, then we can resource one another, and we can walk each other home without abdicating our agency or our responsibility for our own life. And so I think community is a container that holds that possibility. And without community, what you're ending up with is a bunch of solo people trying to do stuff on their own and funnel hack everybody else, you know, oh, you have more results than me, let me funnel hack you. And, oh, you know, so it's always a game of comparison, but in community, I don't think the comparison is as prevalent. I think it's a lot more like, I respect myself and I respect you, and we find some synergy between us. So that's why I think community will be a container that changes the world. But that's a nutshell, Aaron. I don't know if that's.
It's good, you know, but then your business, the Groundswell Collective, is training community leaders, is developing.
Yeah, right.
That's Chris's hustle.
That's right. Yeah. So I'll find people kind of like you, Anna, that want to change the world and want to invite others into a community and a conversation that hosts that conversation moving forward. And so, for example, with Aaron, it's the Mindful CEO and how do we blend spirituality and business together and finding others who want to walk that conversation home. And then there are other communities that are in creation. But yeah, anyway, Aaron, to your point, that's the Groundswell Collective and what we're working on.
And I was just thinking about it in terms of, you know, that synergy with you and Anna, just Anna as an SELP leader, just, you know, as someone who's obviously not doing that now, but at the same time, that foundational conversation, self as community, is not absent from this. There's not, I was thinking about it more in terms of just a personal connection between you two, like what you, the common ground that you share. But we have found it challenging, and it is definitely challenging to build a community. And Anna, I would love to, for you to speak to that, what you, just in terms of your business model and, you know, what you found in building that community and how that went or how that's going or what you see about that. Because that's something for sure where we do actively grapple with.
Totally. So I feel that when I say it was tough, online community was tough. In person, much easier for me. And so I'm not saying that's the way, it's just for me. And so in the pandemic, obviously that was, there's a kibosh on that for a bit. But prior to that, and that's how I created my business community, was just through events, everything was in person. And so moving forward after post-pandemic or whatever we're calling this, it started with the Qigong classes, right? In person, because I was doing everything online. And this is pretty recent. I mean, this is like last fall where we started coming back out. I started building relationships with all the local fitness gyms and the studios, right? That's, they have their hubs of community. And so I'm building partnerships with them to introduce this work, you know, with their members and so forth. So like, I have the vision that once I have enough students that are committed to the work, they're not just one-off drop-ins, but they actually come month to month, you know, my model, I have a subscription model for the Qigong community. And, you know, once there's enough people, we open up more classes. Once that builds enough, then the online community can come or not, because people jump to the online, like, oh, because it has all these things, but everyone's so busy, like, they don't have time to go online. They don't have time to go, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and then you've got, you're competing against these, like, Facebook algorithms that are like in your face and the notifications, right? Or whatever. So, and then there's like, you've got Signal, you've got Telegram, you've got WhatsApp, you've got TextThreads. I mean, there's just so too many, it's like a saturation of online communities from, I think, the pandemic. And so why would they come to yours, right? Because I specifically left my growing, fledgling Facebook group because I was, I don't want to say anti-Facebook, but I just really disagree with the models on every single level. and so I didn't close my account. I'm still on there. But like I went from like daily, like it was my 10, for 10 years I'd grown. I mean, this was painful for me. For 10 years I'd grown my presence on there. And in the pandemic, that was the one I picked in the very beginning before all the whistleblowing and everything. To grow. So I had like 600 people. It was like growing and growing and growing. And I kiboshed all of it. I moved everything over to Mighty Network, which is a private, no ad conscious platform. And I just significantly was less active like every month now, right? As when I go on Facebook. And I moved over to LinkedIn kind of thing. So those were conscious choices I made as a conscious business. Because when I was a business coach, I used to like, not used to, I still do, but it's not the main thing I'm doing. I preached the quadruple bottom line, right? Of how to measure impact, people, planet, profit, and presence, which was the whole well-being present, you know, piece. And anyway, so when I had, so it's important that who I'm working with, everything is aligned, just like you would buy organic, you would get a B Corp certified. I mean, ideally, right? Work with those people and so forth is why I'm saying the Facebook piece. But back to the community, I wanted to make sure that as we go more in person, that I stop, I think this is part of the hustle programming or colonist programmer, I don't know, right? Is when I think of anything industrial, I think of that as colonization thinking, is coming from must produce, and grow at all costs. And so when I think business owners will jump to scale really fast before they're ready, and that's like the number two cause of why businesses fail, is they either run out of money or they grow too fast. And we're pushed and programmed to scale. Exit, whatever, right? So when we're thinking in that way, then we're prematurely on, if you go back to that scale of consciousness with the stages of business, we're jumping to like a blue level, trying to do it Elon Musk is doing when we're a startup, and it like, or trying to use Facebook ads. Facebook ads should never be used until you're at blue level, green or blue. So many people at orange and yellow do it and fail and tank, right? It's just this big lie we've been served up. So it's so important first to take it organically as it grows. Like that is like the new way of doing business, right? Just organic. Now I'm not against ads or anything, I'm just saying, but that needs to come at the right time. And anyway, so back to community. If as we emerge from the post-pandemic era and we move in person, I'm waiting organically to grow the students of consistent students. And at that point, how I'd grow the community is through quarterly satsang events where we're having like some sort of spiritual, like Dharma topic over a very nutritious vegan meal, you know, overlooking in nature. And we do very, you know, we go to Brighton Bush Hot Springs for retreats. Like we do those like very sensory,
rich,
in-depth, rich, meaningful connection, right? And when you start establishing those quarterly points, is like then I would have an annual retreat, right, to Bali, to spiritual centers of vortexes, where it's obvious. I mean, there's nothing to sell. I mean, it's the trip in itself sells. When you add in the great people, it's even better. So that's like the big vision is to then until that point. But I realized that I don't need to build this by myself either. So like I said, I just got back from Tulum for a week-long retreat at this women's mastermind where I just got to go attend. It was basically a free vacation, right? And that was the exchange we had because I didn't get paid through money to speak and lead parts of it. I just paid my airfare, but then they paid for everything else. And so, but it was a freaking free vacation. It was not work at all. And I was like, oh my God, I'm just going to do this every quarter. Just hop on a staff of these already built-in communities of other people generating. I mean, it was like the most from having my second, you know, I was a financial advisor and I sold that business. And then I was a event consultant in the tech and running shit tons of events. And that was burnout, right? But like that second event thing was so, the glory of just stepping in and teaching is like none other. I'm like, what have I been doing trying to build? There's nothing to build. Like, stop building. Just tap in. just visit, tap in to all these existing places, right? If anything, eventually, like locally on Bainbridge Island, I want to like, I'm in process, right, of creating. I keep talking about the future here, but we're doing like this Ignite Impact Award. So we'll recognize mindful leaders, right, in the area. They don't have to have their business, they give a nonprofit, right? Mindful leaders and the winners will receive one of our programs that normally might be unaffordable. You know, they win a full ride scholarship kind of thing. Cause I have a foundation, like a separate sister organization. So 100% of my profits goes into that. And we just provide educator and community leader scholarships for mindfulness training to bring back to their students in classrooms. So that's like impacting the next generation. So that's like the big SELP project, the Self-Expression Leadership Program project that's always at play. I have done so many projects. I never stopped doing that. I truly embody that piece of it. But anyway, sorry, I'm saying a lot. So your listening is very pristine because I'm like, I never on podcasts talk about this stuff in this way. But that's where the future is headed of building communities.
I totally get it. It's well, okay. So you said a lot. So I said, I totally get it. I got about half of what you said. So I can't wait to listen to it again. Cause there's just so much in there, but I think that for me, the takeaway is, you know, live events as an opportunity to, you know, that's the lead magnet, you could say, right. That's the entree. That's what they come in for, right? Because you could do a handout. If you were building an online community, you would have, you know, your 7 video module course on Qigong, and people do that, and you would bring them into the community, but you would never meet them and make that connection with them. But creating events and then tapping into existing opportunities is great. And I would love to talk to you about that mindfulness training and tapping into that community, because that's my path. And what I've been building is that. But I love the, you know, Chris, the thing I'm taking away is that there's people out there grappling with this and solving it for themselves in an authentic, real way that works. And we could be listening for more guests that are grappling with. So if you're one of the 5 people listening to the podcast, and you know someone who's building a community, right? There's the bridge, though. There's the bridge I wanted to ask you about, because, you know, how do you get, I'm interested in your thoughts, because we're, Chris and I have a unhealthy amount of contempt for hustle culture. And, you know, because I don't think there's a healthy amount of contempt you can have. I think any contempt is unhealthy. But, you know, there's that, you can't want, you're not going to get so enlightened that you can't
take no action.
Yeah, well, no, but it's just, you can't like, okay, well now I'm going to get enlightened, so all the goodies get to come to me. You know, like you can't not hustle in order to avoid the hustle. You can't, you know, Chris, I'm not saying it right. You've said this back to me before too, about the paradox of what we're building. Like you can't be the container for mindfulness, or the container for the energy work inside hustle culture is, oh, okay. Like you said, Anna, I'm going to get well enough so that I can go back to the hustle. I'm going to get myself grounded. And then that's going to give me even more results, which is not inaccurate. It's just, you can't come at it from there.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. And so that's a paradox, because it's not inaccurate. You do get more results when you shut the fuck up and let it come to you and maximize your energy and breathe, but you can't relax, breathe, maximize your energy in order to get those results.
Right.
Right. So you really do have to let it go.
Be unattached.
Yeah.
And I like to say it here, spiritual rock bottom. Yeah.
So
I went through that journey. It's like of being in the regular grind, rejecting going into the spiritual, but then it became a grind in a different way, right? And then there's a medium, a balance, an integration.
Yeah, it's such an interesting line, you know. It's such an interesting thing to, and I think it's a personal discovery. I don't think it's anything that you could, you know, it's elusive.
You can't ignore money. I mean, that's the other piece, right? Some spiritual, if you go the spiritual.
Right.
Yeah. But I feel like I've cracked the code a little bit. in how, like, the new way of business, the new era of business, and conscious business.
Yeah.
And it involves going inside for guidance, then looking outside, buying all these expensive coaching programs. Nothing against that. I mean, I laugh because that's like where it came from.
Right.
But really, you have to, so you first have to face the fires within, right? Because some people, when they first open that closet, like, oh my God, it stinks. Or it's like so dark and there's all this trauma, and you have to go through those initial big ones, right? But as you continue working inside and amping up the voice of the soul's guidance, of your intuition, right? From the ego, that's like driving the hustle culture, but instead amping up this like unattached equanimous voice that's fucking trying to guide you all the damn time if you can listen to it. But we have shitty skills of listening to the soul, right? And that's what I teach, right? Is like, how do you calm all the noise down so you can actually hear it and discern it, right? Like sometimes you think it's this, but it's this. Anyway, so you have to really build a relationship with your soul. I mean, number one, okay? Because that is your business advisor. That is your doctor. That is your, like, there, it's so many things. It's the only thing that's going to be with you when you die. So even your legacy, all that shit, everything goes, right? Nothing's there. But your soul, an aspect of source, of divine, is with you. So let's build a relationship with it. Anyway, so as this gets stronger and powerful, this thing knows everything. So much juicier what it comes up with. Oh my God. And then as you do the mind, people would call it the mindset work, right? You imagine, you really feel, like you can't just say the affirmations, you gotta really feel and imagine yourself as if it's already happened so that you're being it, all the stuff we're told. But you actually do that, that's like the work. So it's not the hustle in the traditional sense, but it's like it's work. And as you do that, and you this amplifies, and you get the guidance, then here's the step. I find it's not usually like here's the 10 steps, like my brain's gonna churn out. Gotta make the funnel and then but maybe right? It's like one stupid little thing or one little seemingly insignificant thing. And you're like, okay. And so you just follow it. And then maybe you're still confused, or maybe something magical opens up, but then you tune in again. Okay, now what? And it's literally like this blind show, and you're just like, okay, here, I'm here. Okay, take this step. Okay, I'm here now. And you get faster at this process, right? So it's not so long. And then that's now you being soul-led in partnership with the universe, still taking action that manifests a shit ton more than you could ever imagine. And it's happening to me right now. That's why I can speak from it. But yes.
Cool. I love that.
It's awesome. I mean, that's the metaphor. That's everything you just said is the stuff we it resonates completely with. Take the crayon for a walk is the way we've said it, or I shared that with you, the cattywampus word, the word cattywampus, but
Yes.
right. But taking a what is it, Chris? A intentional.
Heading towards a vague destination in a purposeful manner.
Yeah, heading toward a vague destination in a purposeful manner.
Yes,
The next
exactly.
step, the next step. Okay. We don't know what's going to be there. We're taking the next step. And that internal guidance, that's what has turned me on about mindfulness, the opportunity to, I think it's Edgar Cayce said that, prayer is speaking to God and meditation is listening, that the settling of the mind allows you to hear what you were just speaking to. Of what's your intuition have to say? What I've been practicing this, and you'll appreciate this, I think, I hope, is I found one way to get that voice louder is actively listening to it. So it shows up for me, the way I've been practicing is I'll pass something in the living room and I'll think I should put that away. And then I'll think, no, I'm not gonna. But that was just it talking. Did you forget your keys? I don't, like the, are you listening to the prompt? I should call my brother. Are you listening to the prompts when they come, or are you avoiding them because they're not important right now, and you don't see the purpose of them, or you could get to it later, which is my favorite go-to, misery couch is like, oh, I'll just get to it later. Versus that was just, someone was just talking. That was just, I could listen to that. And the more I listen to that, the louder it gets and the easier it becomes to hear it and the more it has to say.
Yes. And then noticing when you don't, and then all the fucking suffering
Yeah,
that ensues. Oh
it's
my
like drink water or
God.
take your vitamins or
Yeah.
I just thought I should drink some water.
Way to listen to the intuition. For me, it's always being late. Like, I will chronically be late. Like, I got that battered out of me, but it's still, that's like just not, I don't know, it's whatever. And so my intuition always tells me when to be on time. Always! It's nuts. Like, I can be in the middle of a desert and it's like, you should now. And then do I listen or not, you know?
Right.
That's funny.
Yeah. That's excellent. Yeah. Good. All right. Well, Chris, what you've been awfully quiet.
Well, I'm just watching and observing the conversation unfold. There's so many places we could go, and I also am insensitive to time, and I don't know
Yeah,
how
yeah,
much
yeah.
of time Anna's time we have, but I don't know, Anna, what are some fine, like if you had to sort of wrap this up with a bow, you know, what would you leave us with?
It's just, you have everything you need within you. And I think it what's there in this conversation is just strengthening your soul's leadership.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Strengthening your soul's leadership. Yeah.
Great. And then so people can get a hold of you where, how, who, what?
Yeah, just my website. So SoulJoy, S-O-L, know you. So S-O-L, like sun, soul, Spanish, joy, J-O-Y dot life, SoulJoy.life.
Nice.
Great.
We'll put that in the show notes, everybody.
Yeah,
so good. And for me, Aaron, I'll sign off with, I love meeting other people who are up to this kind of work in the world, because I really think it's, you know, the mindfulness is an inroad to an access point for, you know, living out our purpose, living out the things that we feel like are going to make our life fulfilling and make the world a better place. And it's fun to just hear how you're doing that through Qigong and the energy work that you're doing. So thanks for hanging out with us.
Absolutely.
Any final words from you, Aaron?
Yeah. And I love you, and I love our partnership, ongoing partnership, and whatever it is we're building next, which I haven't seen yet, but I can't wait to find out what it's going to be, because it'll be something cool. And yeah, just thank you for your time, and we love you, and come back anytime you have something new to share. We'd love to ramble with you some more.
Awesome. Thank you.
Great.
So good. Thanks everybody for being here. We'll catch you next time. See ya. Peace.
Peace.